This is case number 1190273. The appellant is Stephen Day. Is anyone here for this matter?
I am.
It looks like we have a city representative present. If you would have a seat and provide your name, a spelling of your last name, and your title.
My name is Mary Kissel, K-I-S-E-L. I'm a parking code enforcement officer.
Thank you for being here. No one else is present in the room.
Mr. Guzman, can I interrupt, please? There's some information that is in the paperwork that I submitted that should be redacted. It's got a name and phone number of a complainant that we want to keep confidential. And it's on the sheet that looks like this.
The case detail for case history? Okay. Give me one moment.
Okay. Thank you.
The appellant does not appear to be present. We have the security guard, the court clerk, and myself. Otherwise, the room is empty, and so I need to make sure that the appellant received proper notice of the date, time, and location of the hearing in this matter. In the file, I do see that we have a notice of hearing. The notice of hearing indicates that the date is January 15, 2020. The time is 1:30 p.m. and the place is room 3000 on the third floor, 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97201. And this is the date, time, and location for that hearing. And that notice was emailed to Stephen Day on January 13, 2020. So I do find that the appellant has received adequate notice of the date, time, and location, and has waived their right to be present, and we will proceed in their absence today. The city representative has indicated that in some of the documents that were submitted, there is a name that they'd like to redact. In the case management system online, this has been marked Exhibit 7, and Exhibit 7 has been downloaded on the tablet for the representative. When you open Bureau Response All Documents, that was uploaded on January 14, 2020, it does indicate that there, the third one is a detail for case number 2019-18614, and I understand that document has a name that you'd like to have redacted.
It's on October 4th. Usually we don't put them the names in that area, but we do keep those names, but not in that area, so it wasn't able to be deleted. Can we do that?
In a sense we can, in a sense we can't, and the reason is because presumably it's the appellant that you're concerned about knowing the names.
Exactly.
And I understand that. The appellant has had access to what's been uploaded to the case management system since it was uploaded on January 14th.
Okay.
And so although I could do that now,
they've already
behind
seen
the scenes, it's very likely that they've already seen it. It was already uploaded.
I tried.
You did your best. And mistakes like that happen.
Yeah.
And we do the best we can.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
In this matter, the appellant submitted a green tow warning sticker. They submitted their online tow hearing request form. We have a tow report, which is the printout from the tow desk software indicating information about the vehicle that was towed. We have a statement of rights and procedures and two hearing notices, the initial one and then the rescheduled hearing notice. And then Exhibit 7 are the Bureau Response All Documents, and I'm just going to go through those real quickly on the record so that if the appellant chooses to listen to this audio later, they will know what we were looking at. The first is a notice of a hearing. The second is a Bureau of Transportation tow hearing report. The third is a detail for case number AUT 2019-18614, and it has a case history related to the vehicle that was towed. Next is a parking violation citation, HA 3001-0169, and the date on that is October 29, 2018. That parking violation has five color photographs. The next document is entitled Violation Notice Data Sheet, and it at the bottom has six small thumbnail pictures. Then one large photograph of the vehicle parked on the public right-of-way with the green warning notice affixed to the driver's side window. A second parking violation citation, number HA 3051-1477. This one was issued on January 2, 2020, and it is accompanied with six color photographs, and then perhaps a seventh, eighth, and ninth that are larger 8.5 by 11 color photographs. And then finally, we have some excerpts of the city code. At this time, I just want to make sure that the parking officer has received all those materials.
I have.
And is there any objection to me admitting those into the record at this time?
Are they not already admitted?
Somebody could turn in a photograph from something that happened years ago, and I might say, well, that's not relevant, so I'm not going to admit it. Even though it's in the file, I'm not gonna look at it or rely on it and make my determination. And so the question I have is it okay with you if I look at all these documents and rely on them and make my decision?
Yes.
Okay, no objection from the city. I do admit all of the exhibits that were just discussed. All the testimony that we take here, we do under oath. If you wouldn't mind raising your right hand, I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you provide here today will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. What would you like me to know about this case?
The history on this case goes back, it started in August 6th of 2019. On the TrackIt system, which is the automated online service, we received a service request at 3500 Southwest Mount Adams Drive, green Volkswagen. So I arrived 2 days later, and I made a note that there was no violation, and I put an FYI, which is this purple notice, on the vehicle. I also called in to see if it was reported as stolen, or to see if there was police interest. There wasn't. And my memory serves that the vehicle was very mossy and dirty, is why I chose to see if it was stolen. So about 2 months after that, another citizen called, and we reopened the case. Again, I went back out, this time 5 days later, and again, there was no violation. I left another FYI. The vehicle was in the same place, by the way. Closed the case. Another 2 months later, on December 17th, 2019, it was reopened, and there's a note that somebody said there might be a flat tire. It says flat tire question mark. So for the third time, I went back out to 3500 Southwest Mount Adams Drive, and the vehicle was still in the same place, but this time it had a flat tire on the left front. I warned it on the handheld, put this notice on it. I didn't cite it at that time, but I put the green notice on it and took six photos. And that's on the violation notice data sheet. There's a close-up of the flat tire as well. That was on December 19th. On the 23rd, which would have been even more than the 72 hours notice, Mr. Dave called and said he plans to reinflate the tires. Please recheck on December 27th. Well, because of the holidays, I didn't get out there till January 2nd, and the vehicle was there, the sticker was off, and the left front tire was still flat. At that time, I cited it and ordered it a tow for that vehicle. That's the end of my testimony.
All right, thank you very much. And at the time that you warned the vehicle on December 19, 2019, and at the time that you ordered it towed on January 2nd, 2020, the vehicle was parked on the public right-of-way?
Yes.
And the tire was flat on December 19, 2019, and the front left tire was still flat on January 2, 2020?
Yes. And I've got a photo of that tire on the violation ending in 1477. That's the return date when I ordered the tow. And though it's very blurry, that is a flat tire.
Okay.
It looks like it's on a spare as well.
Going to read into the record what appellant put down in their request for why they felt that this was an invalid tow. The car that was towed was my secondary vehicle that I leave parked in front of my home. I wash it infrequently, and so it accumulates dirt and leaves, which is, I assume, why a complaint was made by a neighbor. The street is very isolated and completely empty of cars. There has never once been limited space to park on that street, probably since the road itself was built. About 12 days before it was towed, I saw it had gotten a green tow warning from abandoned auto. Two boxes were checked, abandoned vehicle, and appears inoperative or disabled, with a handwritten note next to the ladder that said flat tire. I looked up the cited law for the first box, which details three criteria, of which mine only met B, the vehicle appears to be inoperative or disabled. The second box was true, as one tire was flat. I then called the abandoned auto office and had her pull up the details of the warning. She confirmed that the reason for the warning was the flat tire and confirmed with a picture from the inspector that the front driver's side tire was flat. She then confirmed to me that fixing the flat tire would void the reason for the vehicle being towed, and I even asked if she could have the inspector come back a few days later as I was very ill. She scheduled the inspector's visit for the following Friday, December 27th, and before that visit, I replaced the flat tire with the car's spare tire and verified that there were no other mechanical issues with the car. The 27th came and went, and I received no further notice or contact from abandoned auto. On January 2nd, the car was towed. I again called the abandoned auto office, and she verified that there were no further mechanical issues observed by the inspector, but that he had simply noted, quote, the car still appeared to be abandoned. It would have been extremely obvious to the office and the inspector that the car was not abandoned, as the notice had been responded to by the owner and the singular mechanical issue had very visibly been fixed. The vehicle is still functional and drivable, and it has remained registered and insured while parked on the public right-of-way. I was clearly led to believe by abandoned auto office that my car would not be towed if the listed issue was corrected, yet it still got towed with no further warning. A lot of what the appellant is stating in there coincides with the testimony that you provided. Is there anything additional now that we've read that into the record that you would like to comment on?
Yes.
Please.
We never schedule an exact date. We can give people extensions to, say, Friday the 27th. However, we never say, I will be there, because we're not sure. Our workload is such that we can't guarantee. So that's one comment I'd like to make. Okay. The second comment is that the flat spare went flat, it looks like. So the vehicle was still inoperable.
Very well. Anything further from the city at this time?
No.
Our information indicates that this vehicle is still in storage, which is why we had to have the hearing today before the 72 hours expired, and it also requires that I make a decision right now on the record, so I'm going to move to that part of the proceeding. I do find that this is a valid tow because the vehicle is abandoned, and I don't mean that it's abandoned in the common meaning of the word, which would suggest that the appellant was no longer asserting an ownership interest in the vehicle. City Council has defined the word code to word abandoned in the code to mean one of three very specific things, one of which is if a vehicle appears to be inoperative or disabled. I do find that at the time the vehicle was warned and at the time that it was ordered towed, it was parked on the public right-of-way and that the front left tire was flat, rendering the vehicle inoperable. Therefore, the vehicle was abandoned and could be towed. The other piece of the equation is that an abandoned vehicle prior to being towed must receive at least a 72-hour warning prior to being removed from the public right-of-way. And I do find that the parking officer affixed to the vehicle the green notice warning sticker, waited more than 72 hours and returned to the vehicle and at that time ordered it towed because the front left tire was flat. It does look to me like appellant was attempting to be proactive and that they contacted Abandoned Auto and that they tried to replace the tire. I think that's all credible. Unfortunately, it looks to me from the photographs and from the testimony that that spare tire also was flat. And so it was still abandoned and it could be towed. And under the code, I'm required to find that the tow is valid if the parking enforcement officer has followed all the proper notice and procedural requirements, and therefore the appellant remains responsible for the towing and storage charges. Anything else from the city?
No.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate
it.
Off record.